Well, let's pray as we're standing. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to gather together and to gather together around the words of Jesus now. We thank you for the truth that he spoke, and we pray that you would help us to have open hearts, that we would see him afresh, that indeed we would hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, we've heard in the last few days that the recently ousted president of Ukraine, Viktor Yanukovych, has been accused of embezzling state funds and living in ostentatious luxury whilst his country faced serious economic hardship. President Robert Mugabe has now been in power in Zimbabwe for 34 years, despite a reputation for seriously abusing many of his people. And it emerged in the last few weeks that North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has arranged for a whole section of his family to be murdered, including small children, because they were seen as some kind of threat to him. Tragically, our world is not short of examples of very bad leadership. Well, as we continue our sermon series, looking at Jesus' teaching in John's Gospel, where he prefaces his teaching with the phrase, "Truly, truly, I say to you," we find him speaking about bad leadership, but also about what good leadership is like and its supreme example. Well, do turn in those pew Bibles to page 1080 and John chapter 10, 1080. Now, Jesus is in Jerusalem and he's been teaching and performing signs, that is, miracles with a meaning. And he's been doing that in order to display his glory, the essence of who he really is. Now, by chapter 10 here, Jesus has just restored the sight of a man who had been born blind. And he's explained the meaning behind his sign. "I have come," he says, "into this world so that the spiritually blind will see." Now, that was a message that offended many of the people who heard it, especially the keen religious types, the Pharisees, because they could understand that Jesus was perhaps in a way pointing the finger at them. They thought they could really see. Jesus is saying he had come to bring spiritual sight. Well, then Jesus uses what John describes as a figure of speech in order to continue his teaching. So chapter 10, verse 1. "Truly, truly, I say to you," says Jesus, "he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." So Jesus speaks about sheep, a sheepfold, a shepherd, and a thief or a stranger. Now, the Old Testament people of God sang regularly in their corporate worship from the Psalms. Most famously of all, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." And they would also have said the words that we have just said together a few moments ago. "We are his people and the sheep of his pasture," Psalm 100. The people also knew that God appointed under-shepherds as leaders. But as we heard in that powerful reading from the prophet Ezekiel, they were very often bad shepherds, bad leaders. Now, Jesus seems to be saying that such bad leaders, likened to thieves and robbers and strangers, were actually in his presence as he was speaking that day. And the sheep, God's flock, were still very much in need of a true shepherd to provide for them. Now, John tells us, verse 6, this figure of speech that Jesus used with them, they did not understand. They could not see what he was saying to them. And this provokes Jesus into making his message more explicit. He makes it clear that in speaking of the need for a good leader for God's people, that is absolutely central and he is talking about himself. Well, over these last few weeks, we've heard Jesus express his uniqueness in a variety of ways. He's spoken of the possibility of escaping what we deserve for turning away from God. So chapter 5, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. He's made it clear that all need spiritual satisfaction, and it only comes through him. Chapter 6, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life, the bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And he has diagnosed the human condition and made an offer that only he can make and fulfill. Chapter 8, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin, but if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Well, now Jesus speaks of his uniqueness in another way. Here in chapter 10, verse 7. Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. Jesus then is the way into connection with God himself, the door into the sheepfold of God's flock, the entrance into being God's people. There may be others who make spiritual claims, but in the end, Jesus says they're fakes. Worse, they're thieves and robbers, implying not just an inability to help, but also that they're likely to cause damage in some way. Indeed, Jesus says, verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now, Jesus puts this idea of fullness of spiritual life into the language of his figure of speech. Verse 19, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So there's rescue involved. Those who enter through Jesus will be saved, saved from the consequences of ignoring God and given the safety and protection of being part of his flock under his care. And there's life more as it's meant to be. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. An image that suggests rich resources for living life more as it's meant to be. And also the promise of that life more as it's meant to be, continuing forever. It is then only through Jesus that entry into God's flock is made possible. I am the door of the sheep. But then Jesus goes on to continue his message of truth by making another of his I am statements. He said, I am the door. He goes on to say, I am the good shepherd. Now, we began this morning considering some of the examples of bad national leadership that we hear about in the news from time to time. But sadly, it wouldn't be difficult to think of examples closer to home of leaders who, perhaps less dramatically, nonetheless, abuse their position of authority over others. Well, Jesus has already called bad spiritual leaders thieves, those who might damage the flock, strangers, those who are likely to lead the sheep astray. And he goes on to speak of those who are just there because they get paid to be there. Verse 12, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, but leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Now, such a leader is not really a true shepherd, because when the going gets tough, he fails in his responsibility. If danger comes, he doesn't oppose it. And in the end, he just runs away. And why is that? Well, it is verse 13, because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Now, sometimes we see this kind of leadership in our public life, or indeed even in our churches. So the hired hand doesn't really care for the sheep. He doesn't love them. And when false teaching comes, it's tolerated easily enough. When spiritual attacks come, they're not opposed. How different is Jesus? Verse 14. I am the good shepherd, he says. Now Jesus uses this image of a shepherd and his sheep, the so-called pastoral images, in order to make his point. Now, the origin of the term pastoral care comes from this very concept, the idea of a shepherd caring for their sheep. And of course, we use that term now, not just in churches, but also in other institutions, schools and so on, when we're talking about caring for people. Now, as we hear Jesus' words, we realise that he is not merely a shepherd. The leaders that God rebuked through the prophet Ezekiel that we read about would have called themselves shepherds, though they were bad. No, Jesus is the good shepherd. In contrast to the negative leadership so often seen, Jesus is the ultimate good leader. But how do we know that's true? Well, Jesus backs up his words by fulfilling the most loving thing the world has ever seen. I am the good shepherd, verse 11. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus went on to die on the cross in order to take away the sins of the world, as John the Baptist had predicted. He died on the cross in order to bring lost sheep back into God's fold. So rather than looking for what he could get out of his position of authority, rather than looking to boost his own self-image or reputation by wielding influence, as leaders in their sinfulness so easily can do, Jesus proved his good shepherd-like leadership by giving himself for the sake of his people. Jesus laid down his life for the sheep. And he goes on to fill that out a little bit more in verse 18. He says, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father, the Father who proved him true and right by raising him from the dead. So willingly, lovingly, Jesus gave his life, standing in place of undeserving people, bearing our sins and paying the price that we owed, that the way into God's flock might be opened. Now, as we hear Jesus' words, we see that, in a real sense, he sets an example for leadership in life in general. For those of us who lead or have responsibility for others at work, in our families, in the church, we see that true, good leadership is self-giving and not self-serving. It is done for the benefit of others, not ourselves. But of course, the focus is supremely here on Jesus' leadership itself. The supreme leadership of giving and serving. But also Jesus' leadership is personal. Jesus doesn't, as it were, use a collie dog in order to round up his sheep. He does it himself. In setting up his figure of speech, Jesus speaks of a shepherd, verse 3, and the sheep who hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And then he applies the image to himself and he says, verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. So Jesus calls out to people, to his sheep, and they hear his voice. Now, how do we understand this today when we can't ourselves be physically in the presence of Jesus or physically with our ears hear words coming from his mouth? Well, the wonderful thing is that Jesus continues to gather and lead his sheep through his words. These words that we're looking at this morning as we read the Bible. And that is why we focus on the Bible as we gather together in our services, in our groups, in sessions like the identity ones that begin on Thursday. It's why we encourage one another to read the Bible, for it is there that we hear the voice of the Good Shepherd drawing us, caring for us, and providing for us. Now, in his conversation with these religious leaders in Jerusalem, Jesus also speaks of the reach of his ministry as the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 15, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd." Now, Jesus has been speaking in Jerusalem, and he's been speaking to people born into the heritage of the Old Testament. And he began his work enabling people from that Jewish background to join the true flock of God that their heritage had been preparing them for. And yet Jesus is concerned for all kinds and all types of people, whatever their background, whatever their inheritance. Jesus is drawing one flock under his loving leadership from all over the world, from all sorts of cultures and subcultures. And this is a great encouragement to us as we think of those around us who haven't themselves got a Christian or a church background. Jesus is interested in them. It's an encouragement to us as we think of supporting those like mission partners in other parts of the world who are seeking to share the good news. Now, you might think that when people encounter good leadership, the supremely good leadership of Jesus in particular, well, then surely all will welcome him. Well, our reading finishes with some sobering words that are an important reminder that the same Jesus with the same truth provokes different reactions in different people. Verse 19, "There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, 'He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?' Others said, 'These are not the words of one who is possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?'" So you see, many rejected Jesus, but some recognized who he really was, or at least were open to find out more. And it's the same today. And we need to remember this so that we don't think that we should try and somehow change the truth of Jesus as if that will somehow mean that more will show interest. No, we must continue to make Jesus' words of truth known, that his true voice can be heard. For even though some won't like Jesus' words, there will be others that are called to join his flock. Well, our world has many leaders. Some of them are self-appointed, some of them are appointed by others. But sadly, bad leadership is often what we encounter. But Jesus' words of truth here remind us that he is the ultimate good leader. "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, only to take it up again." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for these words of truth. We pray that you would help us to grasp them afresh, to understand them with our minds and to as it were, feel them in our hearts and in our very being. We pray that you would help us to see more of Jesus, the door, the one who is the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. And we pray that you would help us to make him known to those around us too. Help us to point others to these great words of truth so that we and others might genuinely hear the voice of the good shepherd and be strengthened and equipped. And we pray for his sake. Amen.